This is the January 26th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 134 for property ID 10958300. The property is owned by Lawrence L. Aberg and Betty Aberg. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Larry Aberg present over the phone for the appellant. Larry, I know we can't see you, but still go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to let you go ahead and tell us more about your appeal.
Okay. I'm just curious if we were able to display the appraisal report. When I talked to Michelle, she said during the meeting that she could display it.
Yeah, one moment.
Yeah, she will.
And also, I have a little graph I sent in also about the values.
The appraisal, was that in 2017?
2020. 2020. Okay. I had to request it from the lender. The lender actually did two appraisals as they thought the valuation was too high on this report, so they did another one. But so I sent this one. This is the most detailed one. And the graph relates to 2020 to today's values, or as of January 1st.
Okay. Where's the appraisal?
Are you asking Larry?
No, I'm asking Michelle.
Okay.
Okay, well, go to the next page.
I can continue with... I don't have a lot, but I can, if you want me to, and we can wait for that to come on. But
go down to the bottom of that page, Michelle. That's probably the next page then. Yeah, now can you blow that up a little bit? The very bottom there, a little bit further up. Yeah, there you go. 6/20 as of 8/20/22. Okay.
Oh, sorry. It says of 3/20.
Say again?
It says of okay, March.
March 2020. So that appraisal came in at 6/30. Now, the shop wasn't built in 2020. It wasn't finalized yet. And so we had $35,000 for the shop. And come up with a $665,000 is what I brought into that calculation. And then the graph I sent in from March of 2020 to 2022 from online from Redfin, there's multiple sources. Zillow has the same one. They're showing 11.1% increase. And so I had the 11.1% increase onto the 665, and I come up with 738,815. So I do have, that's probably the upper range of the scale because I have a couple other items that just came in. So I changed my insurance policy over to Allstate for both my autos and my home. And they did their own market analysis so they could determine the replacement costs of our residents. And they say the value, and I have documentation on this, as we have the policy that came into effect on Monday the 23rd, they're showing the property at $700,000 and the replacement cost of the home at $550,000. And so there's another item that shows the valuation isn't quite nearly what the assessor is estimating. In addition, the appraisal has quite a bit of detail on it compared to the drive-by appraisal that the assessor did. So we are in the process of getting the house marketed for sale. So the realtors are doing the market analysis right now, but they're coming back to me saying listing price of $659 to $699. So I don't have the official market analysis, but I will have it shortly. So anyways, that's all I have. I believe that the assessor is, for our particular area, is not even close. In fact, if they have a buyer, they should send it over to me because I'd love to get that price for the house.
Yeah.
Michelle, can you take that back, that appraisal that's on the screen, and go to the page with the comparable sales, the first comps 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, there. Okay. Now, is your dwelling a two-story or one-story?
Well, I have an upstairs from my garage up to a bonus room above the garage. So I'm not sure what qualifies for a two-story, but that's all I can tell you is I have a stairs. Now, that room is not completely finished, but I do have steps going upstairs.
And that's the only access is through the garage?
That's correct.
Okay. All right.
Do you have the information that the assessor put out that reduced it to 866?
I do. She sent me an email, and called me on it. I still think it's quite a bit high compared to what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah.
I have enough information on this.
I don't have any questions on it after reviewing it, listening in on this. I'm fine.
Okay, I got it. All right. Thank you.
All right, well, I appreciate
you'll hear from us within 30 days. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, Dan, I'll have you stop it.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 223 for property ID 18778564. The property is owned by Duncan Camacho and Dana Camacho. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Duncan Camacho present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this court as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
So, it's a harder year to for assess values, I think, than in the years past. I've gone through this process. In comparison to what the assessors have turned in for their comps, and obviously their adjusted sale price from the sales date that they used, I think was a little bit excessive. I know it's a calculated rate, but in addition to, once again, this is you know, for their sales 1, 2, and 3 that they used kind of like cul-de-sac areas. This is one of the areas that was, in my opinion, a point of contention when I appealed to the state a couple of years ago, was that how it was addressed to me by the assessor's office was, you know, show me, or they asked me to prove market deviation when I try to use that my lot has a, the majority of my lot is a hill that's not part of my backyard. I have a fraction of the backyard that I have as opposed to what the lot would show for my property or my driveway. And I had the question that was posed to me was how can I show market deviation in those deficiencies, or how do I not, you know, in my case, how come I didn't provide evidence? And that was probably where I thought I lost in my state appeal, because it was hard to answer that question at the time he asked it. But it will show, like, you know, these houses that are cul-de-sac, you know, full lot sizes, they do sell for more. That's exactly what a comparable sales grid is supposed to show here, in my opinion, is that these houses that have the lots that are similar size, they are full lots, and they are cul-de-sac, quiet, you know, quiet streets, not a sloped driveway. I think that kind of shows that these houses are considered a premium when you are comparing similar houses. So I know that's kind of where I'm always in the uphill battle of showing that how my lot differs from the other comps. But it still shows, I think, in how these sale prices are reflected in comparison to the areas of people that have sold in my around this neighborhood, for which I use comps for. So I think that's where, I think, in my opinion, the adjusted sale price and what the comps for what people actually sold for, I think, kind of show the difference between what I think my property is in comparison to, where it's not just the hard numbers, the factual numbers, is where I feel that where my house might be a little bit of a disadvantage in those comparisons. And so, you know, in the comps that I provided, these were houses that all have, I was the smallest lot out of all those houses. I didn't realize that the square footage is a little bit different, but that's, you know, even for the assessor's office, they all used properties that were about 700 square feet less than mine. So it wasn't like we were kind of in the ballpark of each other for the comps I used and the comps they used. Obviously it's hard to find exact same house size. It was, you know, sold within that same time period. So, I tried my hardest, but I think I got pretty close when you look at the same square footage of what the county used for their comparable sales grid.
You understand that the adjusted sale price is only adjusted for time, and they're saying that their study showed that there was a 21% increase in property values throughout 2021. And so that difference is from four, six, for instance, that sale one on their grid is 416 and 2021. And so all they're doing is updating that to 1231 2021 by adjusting it by a prorated portion of 21% through the year. And that's just a time, what they consider a time adjustment. In other words, if that property had sold at the end of the year, it probably would have sold closer to the 792 than the 685, because properties were going up at that rate during the year. Well, that's, I mean, how they get to that number.
Yeah, no, I understand. That's why it's a, you know, it's not like a number they, you know, oh, we're going to create this number. Now I get how the calculation that's, but I mean, in terms of projections versus, you know, that's theory versus application. I mean, they projected the sales price, but doesn't necessarily mean at that point in time. And I picked the house for one of my comps was in October. So, I mean, I got closer to that end of the year date than they did. And that would show that the property did not, that doesn't exactly meet that 21% threshold.
Okay, the two of the properties that they show there, that the assessor shows, like the number one is, must be real close to your property. Is it? Does it have the same backyard characteristics that yours does?
Negative. I mean, like
you're 13210. Oh, yeah, they're on 42nd Street. Okay, never mind.
They're on the other side of. They're kind of in the. Off McCann there, on the other side of 36 or Lake Shore. But no, they're not up against the hill. They're not on a they're not up against the hill. Nor are they on a hill, and it is a cul-de-sac, like I said.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, if you're on the hillside there, do you have a view of down over Salmon Creek or off to the east? Where's your
Yeah, so the greenway would be to the north of where I'm at. Part of the north side of the house on that windows, I can you can see the greenway.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry for me. I'm pointing, looking. Sorry, I'm just making sure I can point the right direction and say the right direction. Not expecting you guys to, you know where I'm pointing at, so sorry.
Okay, I don't have any other questions on it.
I don't either. And see his comps.
Yep. I think we have enough information. All right.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 216 for property ID 261090000. The property is owned by Nathan R. Dexter and Sally A. Dexter. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so hand it back to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 26th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 144 for property ID 130093000. The property is owned by Ronald M. Hyde and Michelle C. Hyde. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Ronald M. Hyde present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I believe I don't have any questions at the moment.
Okay. So tell us whatever you want to.
Okay. What we believe is the home that we purchased has many items that are in disrepair, broken, outdated. I have some estimates and pictures and documentation that I could show quickly if I could share a screen. But that's the premise, really. Our thesis is the house is old. It is falling apart in many areas, and I have the inspection report as well.
Am I correct? You bought it in January of 22?
Yes, sir.
And you paid $925 for it?
Yes, sir.
And did you know all these things were wrong with it?
Not all these things. Several items, yes, were in the inspection report. Some of the items weren't captioned in the inspection report because the inspector did not look at the outbuildings. He looked at the primary residence. So, yes, some of the items we knew of and many we did not.
Were you in a bidding process to buy this property?
How do you define bidding? You know, that was the hot...
Were there multiple offers on it?
No, sir. We were able to secure the home without a bidding war, per se, but there were multiple viewings scheduled. However, we were able to accept as-is, a fixer-upper as-is, and I think that was part of why we were able to buy the home at that time.
So you think you grossly overpaid for it?
There's nothing we can do about the past. We can't change the past.
Well, I mean, you're asking for $757 on a house that you paid $925 for?
Answer your question, yes. We feel we grossly overpaid. And I'm sorry, could I just ask, what is the 757 number?
That's what's on the front of your appeal form.
Okay.
That's what you stated as the value.
Okay. You know, forgive me, I don't recall establishing that number.
Well, what are you asking then? I mean, that's what's on your form, signed by you.
Okay. That's the number. At that time, I didn't have all of the estimates as far as cost to repair and upgrade. And further, we found more things that are broken. It's in writing, so I will go with that number.
Well, you can change it. I mean, you can ask for something different, but I mean, it looks a bit strange when you just bought the property. I mean, we're valuing this as of January 1st of 2022, and you bought it for $925. Market price is pretty well hinged to the what a willing buyer is willing to pay a willing seller for a piece of property. That's what you paid for it.
Right.
Was there an appraisal done for your sale in January of 2022?
No, sir. Due to the amount of cash that we placed into the sale and down payment, they didn't require an appraisal.
Okay.
Okay, I think I'm good with the information that we have, that I can make a decision on it.
I'm fine. I don't have any other questions.
Okay.
So may I show some of the documentation, or is that not relevant to our hearing today?
Well, you're, unfortunately, your purchase price pretty well sets the peg.
What about all of the items that need to be replaced or repaired? So what I'm thinking, and forgive me for, you know, from a layman's standpoint, we have a purchase price, and if we have to spend $100,000 to get it, I mean, doesn't the appraisal, or excuse me, the assessed value presume that it's in good working order?
Well, not necessarily, because the property could be worth $1 million and you paid $925 because you discounted it for all those things that were wrong with it. But like I said, it's the market is what a willing seller is willing to pay a willing buyer. I mean, a willing buyer is willing to pay a willing seller for a piece of property, and that's the measure of it. Unfortunately, the market was kind of wild in 21 and all throughout 21, and people paid more than they wanted to for property, but they wanted to get the property. But that was the market, and that is the market. You bought it 7 days after the valuation date of January 1st of 2022. I mean, they've got it assessed at $851, even though you paid $7.25 for it. So, I mean, I guess you're fortunate from that standpoint that the assessed value is less than you paid for it. But you did pay $925 for it.
Okay. Well, and again, we did. However, we accepted the as-is clauses, and we did not. So, and this is the seller's statement. We don't want nickel and diming. We know there's a lot that needs to be repaired. And so we took it that way. And that's how we were able to avoid the so-called bidding war buying the property.
But that's what you paid for it. And knowing that there were things wrong with it. So that's a fact. And in the future, I mean, if you want to get a lower rate and take all those things into consideration, you would need to get a fee appraisal on it and point all those things out and make sure that that's included in your appraisal, and you can get the property value down. And if you want to appeal this to the state and get a lower value, you could still do that now, have an appraisal done very quickly, because once you appeal to the state, I mean, you have 30 days from the time you get this letter to appeal to the state, and then you can provide additional information to the state for an appeal at the state level, and that could be an appraisal, and it could be a list of all of those things that are wrong with it. Make sure that the appraiser knows that so that they can include that in the appraisal and get an appraisal and go to the state. Okay. And the state appeal is similar to this. It's an online or a conference on the phone or online with all the documentation. And they'll give you a list of all the things that you have to do prior to the time you get a hearing with them. So it's sort of a painless process. I mean, it means you got to do some more work, though, to get to make sure you've demonstrated something other than the purchase price, because they're going to look heavily at your purchase price also.
Okay. Well, I can understand what you're saying. It seems somewhat static to me, given that these homes are somewhat like living beings and biological organisms, right? They're constantly falling
apart. Well, I understand that, but unfortunately, I mean, if you were 6 months away from a purchase price of $925,000, you have some room to wiggle with. But when you're 7 days away from a purchase, from the evaluation date, it's pretty hard to say that the property changed in that length of time.
Okay. It is what it is, as they say.
All right. Yep. All right. You'll hear from us within 30 days, and then you can act appropriately from that point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 250 for property ID 357-71418. The property is owned by Karen D. Knudsen and David A. Knudsen, and it's under trustees. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have David Knudsen present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Understood.
Unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
All righty. So I have in this appeal lots of information. That's being done primarily because the rules for a state appeal have been changed regarding evidence. And I'm just going to run you through it. There is a file that I included that says my outline for information for the Board of Equalization. So I'm going to start with some of the files that are attached in point one. So in general, the property that I own that we're discussing is my property, which sometimes are referred to generally as the Towers, the development of the mid-90s. Down by Beaches, specifically its mailing address, 520 Southeast Columbia Drive, number 116. So first thing I want to show is that there is a very easy way to identify a historic trend in regards to these sales. And I'm only specifically looking at the sales in what are, again, what are referred to as the Towers. They are a four-story condominium complex that has a underground parking structure. A general statement would be the higher you go in elevation, generally speaking, by elevation, say a fourth floor sale versus a first floor sale, historically, the more expensive they have sold for. The position of the sale also affects, by position, I mean which way is it facing? And north, south, east, west, and noise issues greatly affects sales in a fair and open market. My own personal belief and observation is the current system used by the Clark County Tax Assessor, where it's all looped into a computer and out comes a little average that spits out, is not only completely unfair, but is completely fallacious when it comes to these sales. So first, I'm going to roll it back in time just to say, hey, in the mid-90s, what was the consistent track record? So the first thing I'm looking at is northsales.png. If you look at those North sales, I'm not trying to come to any conclusions for now, but a broad general statement would be, and another issue about these condos has been, sometimes it's extremely easy for people to sell them without hiring realtors and put them into the RMLS because the people that want to live here will wait for something to come on the market and will sometimes pay what appears to be any price for their one on the fourth floor with the clear and obstructed view of the Columbia River. Looking at that list out, that printout, what can we say about that? Well, there's a track record of closed sales from as low as $98,000 heading north, which means we're looking at Highway 14. We have railroad tracks with train noise directly below you. As you go higher in elevation, they would have territorial views. If you're low in elevation, it's the absolute worst location. So just for fun, to prove this point, 520 Southeast Columbia River Drive, and it doesn't even say number three. There's no such thing as number three. The data is incorrect in the older stuff from the computer. But here you have something as low as 98,000 for 824 square foot sale. And then as you look down all the way at the bottom, there's something as high as 240,000. Moving right on next to South Sales. What's South Sales mean? That means that if I'm on the first floor, I have a green belt looking at a pool. I have, in certain places, peekaboo views of the Columbia River. And depending upon which way I orient my eyes, you know, it's a true view of the river. In other words, what section of my windows am I looking out? At that point, the lowest sale is, at this point in time, the lowest sale in that point of time was 123,000. The highest sale isn't as high as on the next page, but it's square footage related. If I were trying to analyze all that, the day I looked at it, I came to the conclusion that typically people were paying $90,000 more at that point in time to be on the south side if everything were equal. Point number two, most expensive sale ever. So that is going to be file 01766049.pdf. Let me get it here. Okay. First of all, as you bring that up, what are you seeing? You're actually seeing an expired listing where they couldn't sell it at a certain point in time, 2017, for $799,000. Only reason I'm doing that is to show they're definitely selling by the very first picture, the view. It's on the fourth floor, and certain of the units on the fourth floor also have like another like little higher sort of room, usually with like a glass balcony. And they originally asked $835 for that. They dropped it to $799, never get any offers, never sell it through the RMLS, except somebody buys it for $410,000 on 10-8-13. That is a fact, Jack. If you look at the deal looking in the track record of that property selling, and not through the RMLS. When you get to the Clark County information, which is a few pages down, the most recent sale was 111-2021, sale $789,000. And to show you how screwy the tax assessment can be, well, according to this information, somebody's actually paid $789,000, but yet our tax assessor is assessing it for $512,000, which is laughable. Okay, and what's my view of that? Well, so then, in 2013, people were paying about 150K more to 200K more. We'll just call it 200 grand for clear and unobstructable views. Next, let's look at My Condo. There's actually a file that says My Condo PDF. Okay, so that shows RMLS information from 520 South for 520 Southeast Columbia River Drive, 116. I think that's correct. So, for whatever reason, the one I'm currently looking at doesn't show any inside pictures. So therefore, I have screwed something up. Yet it. Oh, there it's coming in. Page five. Oh, it's going down. It goes in. It shows. It shows inside of my condo. Yeah, that's it. Though I didn't know this at the time that I bought my condo, although I kind of knew it because I looked at what I could see in public record, or at least I could see in GIS. That remodel you see was done completely without any permits, and I had it as a rental for 2 years, had all kinds of issues, though it won't affect this year. Earlier this year, I pulled permits and everything you see in there had to be ripped out due to mold. But that's another story. Also, the agent, the listing agent, reported it as an incorrect sale in MLS. Pretty common if you're trying to make it look like you're awesome. I actually buy it for $376,651. On 11-2-2020, even though she reports the sale at $385. I would point out to you, looks really nice inside, just as nice as some of the other sales we're going to do, but completely done without any kind of permits. In fact, one of the biggest issues was they put in a walk-in shower using a 1.5-inch drainage system instead of on a shower, you're supposed to have 2-inch by code. And really left me with a mess, but hey, that's life. My unit, because it is north facing, Jack will see better pictures of it. My unit is north facing, and my view, I guess it sometimes is a view of the train when the train is stopped, but I have no view of the Columbia River at all. Okay, so now on 10-22-21, 520 Southeast Columbia River Drive, that is going to be under file 357-7-1416, sale PDF. This is literally my next door neighbor's property. By next door neighbor, I mean 6 inches of space in between. Now, tax assessor is going to look at this and say, well, if that house sells for 500 and whatever it sold for, 520, then mine's worth more money. And my response is, no way, Jose. There's a clear track record of the north side sales being worth way more money. And when we look at this, as you bring up that file, I said, there's the RMLS information. They originally list for 539.9. She thinks she gets an awesome deal negotiating down, buys it for $520. I've never told her this, but hers was completely done without permits too, by the same group of people that did mine. They're definitely selling her view. There is one view that there's one picture when you look at it, though she's looking in between some of the townhomes. She's definitely looking at the Columbia River. Her cabinetry and stuff is nicer than mine, but that's just a personal observation. Ironically, though I'm not arguing mine is less because of the way it's being assessed, it looks to me like the assessor's only assessing hers at $377.85, even though someone just paid $520 for it in a fair and open market. Didn't bother even redoing it. But I absolutely would argue that because of her green belt, because of her view of the Columbia River, because of less train noise, again, this historic year after year, sale after sale, things on the north side sell for less than things on the south side. Next one to look at. I noticed that in the rules for this year's tax assessments, you can look at something into the next year for the first 3 months. And the file of 035714, let's see in my notes here, 1462, is that the one I was just talking about? I don't know. Let's find it. Anyway, it is a sale of 0357-1462. Where are you? Oh, there it is. Okay, this is on my side. It's a north side one, but it actually has a view because it is two stories higher. And the living room is directly looking at the interstate bridge. Same floor plan as mine, same square footage of mine. Difference is the view. So as you scroll down, as you look, they show pictures where they don't really do. Although you can see it in one of the pictures, they're showing you to the left. The Columbia, as you go down, say, the second row of pictures, when you get to all the little pictures, it shows you that view. And I have more view. I've gotten to know the person who lives there, so he let me take some outside pictures that I'll show you in a second. And solely in my own opinion, kitchen is way better in the sense of value. They've removed a wall, so it's completely open versus the floor plan, and it originally has a wall in between the kitchen and the living room. And as you look at, so it's a different kind and quality of cabinetry. If you look at the appliances in those pictures, you know, those are those high-end, bigger, wider, chef kind of appliances. So that sale happens within the first 3 months of the next year that we would typically look at for tax assessments, but according to the rule I read, you now can consider it. What's the implication of it? Well, the implication of it is, one, my next door neighbor that's 6 inches away paid too much in an open market where prices were have now stabilizing. Some people think they're beginning to decline. I haven't really been paying that much attention to it as a designated broker because I got bigger fish to fry at the moment with my own stuff. But bottom line is, I would argue that my direct 6 inches away next door neighbor at unit number 116 will go down as being a person who paid too much because her view is not as good as number 316. So both of them are very close by sales, but just square footage and view differences. Okay. All right, so I've actually gone through, except for, let me show you the three different views. There'll be a picture that says 115 PDF. Again, this is unit 115, which is my neighbor's, that's 6 inches away by the common wall. When you're on her deck, you can see how that in between those panels, that peekaboo view. At some point when you're on the other deck, the view is better. But she does have the green belt that you can see with a big overgrown tree and the grass that's leading towards the pool versus mine, 116. That's from one of my decks with my balloon truck in the picture and the train, which happened to have stopped right there. Perfect example of how far away the train is. And from my other deck, the same train, no green belt, a street, and our friends without homes sometimes marauding through that area there vandalizing cars. All right, so where did I come up with my opinion as a real estate broker? Well, I just didn't bloop them all into a computer and say, oh, all the 1,306 or 1,316 square foot houses are exactly the same, and now I'm going to call mine 470 something or whatever the appraiser did. No way, Jose. Things in a very close location are too dissimilar. However, I do have a file called Wade Sales. These are the three sales that I actually looked at, considered, and said, hey, there's pluses and minuses. Nothing's the same. First one is 1,055 square feet versus mine's 1,300. So on this one, it's within the same time frame. I'm going to have to adjust up because of this sale. It's a closed sale, which closes on 5/10/21. Someone pays 3/16/5. It is on the train track side, on the north side. And as I look at the inside pictures, I say, oh, they've completely updated. Someone's completely updated that inside. And in fact, I would argue since mine has original cabinets and in it, that these are way nicer cabinets, but again, it's opinion at some point. So that's the first one in my way to sales. As you keep going down, I have there's the tax record, another sale. This is a 1,302 square foot house, which is now fourth floor. So typically speaking, a fourth floor should sell for more. And this is a sale from
Well, let's see. This is a sale from 512-21. They list for 389. They sell for 389. And when I look at their inside pictures, when you go on the fourth floor, even though it's a three-bedroom house, it has like this like circular staircase that you walk up to or walk up on, and your territorial view increases. I see alpha mica counters like mine has, but looks like some kind of stone or granite. I see tile, etc. I see vaulted ceilings, which I don't have. These are all, typically speaking, things that an appraiser is going to value down. In other words, an adjustment downwards. Looks like the market value from Mr. Appraiser is $394,230. And this sale doesn't happen all that much longer after mine, before. And one other one that I look at, this is another one-story one on the north side. Even though it's my exact same floor plan, I'm not exactly sure, a mirror image. I'm not exactly sure why they call it 1,349 square feet, but, you know, you can bleep bloop any information you want to in the computer. Doesn't mean it's true. In this case, they list for 539, they sell for 539. The important thing to remember on this one is they have a nice interior. I see nice flooring with hardwood. And they have a view because of where it's located. This is on the exact same opposite. And Mr. Tax Assessor assesses theirs at 467, even though they sold it 539.9 on 210.21. Therefore, I have to, in my own brain, say, well, their view is better. When you're on that patio, you're looking out in between the condos that are under construction right now at framing stage, and like where the Indian woman statue is at the Columbia River toward the gorge. And like you can see it, view river. Well, in a fair and open market where nobody had to buy, nobody had to sell, if views sell for 150-ish, I might argue I paid too much for my house to begin with. But hey, had to get 1031 mini. I had to put it somewhere, and that's what I chose to do with it. Okay, so bottom line is this: I ended up with what I believe in a fair and open market mine is worth by considering all of those sales. While I would never say, as I have the former owners of Riley's and Marks listening to me at the moment, I would never say I'm an appraiser, but I've sold a lot of real estate in this county, and I know trends, and I know what people will do. And the first thing I learned in real estate back in the 80s is, what will something sell for? Whatever somebody is willing to buy it for, and whatever somebody is willing to sell it for. But without being bogged down in this crazy, everything's the same, as someone who now has 63, heck, I have now 40 years experience in the real estate industry. My own opinion as a designated broker is I have given an honest and fair valuation of my property at that point in time. And I guess I don't have anything more to say other than thank you for your time.
I don't have any other questions.
All right.
No, I think I've got a pretty good understanding. You've put a lot of information down here, and we've had time to look at it. And I appreciate that. Well,
yeah, and again, of course, what's important to me is, you know, obviously, we were dealing with difficult issues to determine value of, but I wanted to show historic, year after year, people pay for the view, people pay for the south side. Ready? That's it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle, for all your help as I'm still beaming through my crazy mental health stuff I'm going through. By pointing out to me in a nice way, one time I sent you stuff that was for the wrong appeal. In a nice way, you did.
The labeling you did helped a bunch, so thanks for doing that.
All right, thanks. All right,
thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 229 for property ID 130958000. The property is owned by Christopher Lizert and Lori Lizert. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Lori Lizert and Christopher Lizert present over video chat for the appellant. So you do not both have to speak, but whoever would like to, we're going to do a swearing in. So just raise your right hand and we'll get going.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I will start with the assessor's comps and his evaluation. This year it increased 44.5%. The value went up $269,000, well over $269,000. All of his comps have more land, exactly maybe double to triple the land. Four out of the six properties have water, riverfront property, or a creek on the property. The closest comp he has 1,500 more square feet of house than our home. I can go through each sale and tell you the difference on his comps, and then I'll go through the comps that I pulled. His sale one has a creek on the property, has 3.5 more acres, and has 580 more square feet. Sale two is a riverfront property, has 3.75 more acres. Sale three is an assisted living retirement residence, has 1.54 more acres, and has 1,700 more square feet. Sale four...
When you say assisted living, what does that mean?
In the description, when I went online and looked at the county's assessed value, it said assisted living retirement residence in the description.
It
didn't say single family, single use.
Okay, got it. All right, go ahead.
Sale four has an outbuilding and has 3.49 more acres. Sale five is a riverfront property and has 1,500 more square feet. And sale six has creek on the property and has 4.79 more acres. So I feel that his comps are exaggerated. I don't feel like they're due diligent comps. And I can go over the comps that I found that were a little bit closer as far as the starting value, but have extras that our property does not. On my comps, I believe, well, it would show a lower value if even with the property extras that you would subtract. So on my comp sale, one has only 0.6 more acres, has a territorial view, and has a shed and detached garage. So two outbuildings on that sale one. Sale two has 3.16 more acres, territorial view, and has a barn. Sale three has one more acre and has another outbuilding as well. As far as our property goes, we would love to have an outbuilding. However, I would say 60% of it is flooded. I think you can see in the pictures I provided, there's definitely water, standing water in the back. It's unusable. There are power lines that run through the back as well as easements. So essentially the back half of our property is not usable. The front half, we could build something. However, the septic is there and the leach line, so we could not build in the front of the property. I would say 9 months out of the year, the back is flooded, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, there's a big drainage problem. If you look on Google Earth, we're kind of at the bottom of a hill that drains, and there's a pond, and there's actually a creek that goes through our neighbor's yard, and it kind of runs through ours and finally feeds kind of a creek, and it goes under the road and out towards Woodburn School. But a lot of drainage issues, and besides the drainage, the power lines have 150 feet setback from either side, so 300 feet from center line of the power lines. So it's just unusable. It's just not a fair compass. It's just not a fair comparison.
Did we set that value last year?
You set the value at 605 last year.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we got some bids years ago to maybe fix some drainage, but it was, and I understand Lori reminded me, you can't accept a bid unless it's from 2021.
Or current.
So, well, or current.
I mean, yeah, we can certainly review it and extrapolate, and if it's the same issue going on, then we understand that it would be at a higher value. You can still use the same bid if we haven't mitigated it already.
You know, it was probably 5 years ago, and it was very near $30,000, but in the permitting process, and it may not even get approved because you can't really change the flow of water. And I don't really know all about the permitting process, but it's kind of a big deal to try to dry lands up because it does feed that pond and it feeds the creek. And I don't know what we can or can't do. It was out of our reach to spend that much money, so we just didn't really pursue it.
It's probably double that now.
At least. Yeah, probably. So unfortunately, it's just so swampy. And the power lines and the other issues, and then all these houses were always the good kind of waterfront, not swampland. They were riverfront. So it's kind of where we're at.
Oh, you can go out and dig it deeper so it runs like a river.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'll loan you a shovel if you want to come by this weekend. Yeah. Actually, I'm
going to... You think it's less? It's even less valuable than we set it at last year, then, right?
I think so. Yeah.
I think the flooding has gotten worse.
I think so. Yeah.
And I don't know if that has to do with the building down the road or what, but over the years, I think the flooding has gotten worse, not any better.
I think like after the first rain, the ground saturated, and then after that, it just remains surface water. And it can just, yeah. It just doesn't soak it up. And so it just literally flows across the backyard to the west, to the east. I mean, running water kind of through the 2/3 of the yard. If you want to call it a yard, it's just field grass that we mow. But we should have turned in some Google Earth pictures, huh?
They have pictures of all the back.
Right.
And the flooding. Oh, okay. And the standing water I took a picture of.
Gotcha. So it's probably a separate issue, but like the road is settling, like where we park, has some blacktop. It's kind of shifted and settling. The whole house is settling. We kind of got a mess here.
Was it on Phil property?
Yeah, it was. They burned the house or had a controlled burn and then built this in its place. But this was a much bigger place than the controlled burn.
Okay, but it wasn't, it isn't filled like it's on a hillside that's filled in.
No, it was flat to begin with.
Yeah.
But they changed the footprint, and I think there's, you know, like the garage door settled and the floor settles, and now there's gaps and all the, there's just a lot of issues with this, other than the taxes that we got to do, a separate issue, but the whole house is in a bad spot.
Okay. I have enough information on what they have on here and what they have to say.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have any questions either.
Yeah, I do too. All right.
Okay, appreciate your time.
Okay, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 26th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 194 for property ID 225-644-000. The property is owned by Harlan D. Raines and Alicia L. Raines. Excuse me. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Harlan Raines and Alicia Raines present over video chat for the appellant. You do not both have to speak, but whoever would like to, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for...
Raise your right hand.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony, make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Well, first of all, I found out that I can't say anything about my financial stuff because that's for the next year. So I have to throw that out. You know, like the cost of money and things like that. So I guess the only cost thing of money
generally doesn't... cost of money generally in... involves the market value of the property, but the market value has to be determined by other means other than just financing.
Yes. So, okay, well, but I guess our house hasn't been really updated or anything. I mean, there's a lot of new homes going in around up in this area, so I feel like we're getting put into that category, but it's our home.
4 years old.
40 years old. It's been remodeled about 20 years ago.
Well, we did the kitchen.
Oh, we did. Yeah, we did the kitchen.
And we just recently put in a bath that is handicapped assessed.
We had to. I don't know if you take anything into account for this year. We had to put in a new heat pump, replace a heat pump. So I don't know if that counts for anything or not. And then if you look at our map, you see the drainage ditch that goes through our property. Mm-hmm. And then they've deemed just about all of our property riparian, whatever.
Riparian.
So,
which is your property there?
It should be the one in the blue box or kind of a
turquoise box.
Turquoise box.
Oh, I have black and white, so I can't tell you.
Well, there's a box. Ours is in the prop, in the box. You see a box there?
Parcel report.
On the parcel report? Get that.
I see the ditch in here. I don't see anything else.
Yeah. And then it's got, mine's in color, and it's got green lines going up and down through just about all the property. Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to denote riparian property.
I don't have that map.
That's it, right there, on the screen.
That's it on the screen.
Okay.
And then the... And then there's a ditch that goes all the way through, kind of from corner to corner. And on the west side of that, that's none of that's buildable. And then about 70 feet on this side, on the east side, isn't buildable because it goes down a hill. And then the DNR has said that this is all riparian, which means it's a fish building. It's got fish in it, but it doesn't. It was a ditch created back in about 1983, 85. So we had to give up property for that. And then on the right-hand side, there's a 10-foot strip for a road that we have to give up too.
But that, according to, I guess it was Mike I was talking to, there is no value for that easement, so that's okay. We didn't know that, though. I guess my concern is that the inside of the house still has doors that aren't updated, hardware that isn't updated. We have floors that are uneven, if you will. So it's not a brand new house,
right,
as compared to what's going on around us.
Yeah. We also, because of all of the remodeling, it was originally a $1,700 square foot home, and it's been added to. I think we're at $3,300 now when we bought it. And you can't get underneath and repair stuff. That's our other thing we have. And we had to put in new plumbing to because the old other plumbing was too old and getting ready to break. I don't know if you've guys heard of Quest. Yeah. So
yes,
we had to replace that.
But also, what do you have that would show a common property that would compare to us?
Well, we don't have anything. We have to look at only what you provided us.
Yeah.
Okay, also, is it common for, in 9 years, the value of your house to double? Is that what's going on with every property?
Well, the average has gone up pretty much. It went up 10% in 20 and or 19 and 10% in 20, and it went up 21% throughout 21. So in 3 years, it's gone up 40%.
Is that comparable then to, I know we purchased 329. Well, I think it would be 8 years if you're going by 22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 22.
I could see if all the properties were going up that much, that would make sense. But I don't know if that's the case.
Well, in 21 alone, the average for the county went up 21%. So if you look at your last year's assessed value at 5, 556 and add 20% to that, that's over $100,000. And that gets you to where you, virtually where you are today. Mm-hmm. So it has gone up. It's gone up crazy in the last, in 2021 and 2020 and 2019 both went up 10%. So it has gone up, quite a bit.
And what happens if there's a big crash?
Well, it'll be a one-year delay, and it'll be reflected in your values going forward. So let's say it has softened somewhat during 2022. So likely next year you're not going to have a huge increase in your property value. And if it does crash, then that will be reflected in the values of all homes in the following year. Unfortunately, there's a 1 year lag in setting the values.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought we were contesting the 650 though.
680
or what?
686. Yes.
Okay. Because
What you need to do is, are you in a rural area or are you in with a lot of other houses?
Very rural.
So
yeah,
you
we have 2.4 acres and we're one of the smaller lots.
Okay. But you need to find comparable houses, and you can go on the county system, the GIS system, and there's a place there you can find, other comparable properties. You have to pick through them and find ones that are more comparable than others to your property, and then see what they sold for. You get size and location.
Did you send that? I don't know. Well, we have one guy right down the street with 1.1 acres, and his land value was like 151.
You're talking about assessed values now. We can't use assessed values. It has to be sales of property.
Oh, okay.
It has to be a sold property.
Oh, okay.
Well, isn't that a sale?
Yeah.
Oh, Mark.
Yeah, that doesn't show this. I know they sold it. Somebody else has. Well, maybe they didn't.
Can you show them, Michelle, where to find that on the GIS page?
Yeah, I can find that. The other question I have is, since I have all of that land that's not buildable and a right-of-way, so would my property value, according to the DNR, it looks like I don't even have 1 acre of land that's flat and usable or whatever. I can do whatever I want. You know, because they've got all that marked as riparian, which means it's got to have, that's a setback from a stream.
Right. Yeah, you probably couldn't build your house on that property today.
Well.
Are you saying that if the whole thing burnt down, we couldn't rebuild?
Well, you could rebuild probably, but not, I'm saying you couldn't buy that as a piece of blank property and then build a house on it if it were a blank piece of property now. It would be a restricted area. And you may be able to build on it with a bunch of restrictions. I'm not sure that all the requirements, but it's the sensitive land issues have all come up in the last 10, 15 years on properties.
Yeah. We didn't have that when we bought our property. And the other thing is, they're calling it a stream, and it's not. It should be about a 70-foot setback, because that was built as a stream back in the 80s.
Well, it wasn't even. It was built as a ditch.
A ditch is a ditch, because it goes all the way up to SR 503 there, the Louisville Highway.
And the properties were flooding up there.
What is it now?
Well, that's a good question, because they say there's fish in it, but there's no fish.
Well, it depends which organization you talk to. Fish and Wildlife did a study in 2015, and what they said is there's no fish habitat. And Department of Natural Resources said that it was a fishable habitat, and it's all riparian, or riparian, or whatever you call that. And so, you know, it's kind of crazy. But either way, you should have at least, because it goes into the Lewis River, it has to have a 70-foot setback off of that ditch on both sides.
Well, and they call it a stream. Does it have water in it year-round?
No. That's DNR says that. Fish and Wildlife, who come out and actually survey it, say there's no fish habitat. And below there, south of 269th, there is a beaver dam, which nobody can touch, and fish can't get up there. So it's, you know, and I don't know. But anyway, you can't use a 70-foot strip, do anything within 70 feet of that on either side, is what I can tell from the rules from Clark County.
Yep.
The county comes through.
Right.
When the county comes through, that cleans that.
Yeah. You need to look up and find comparable properties and go back to the front page. On there, where is it they can find? See where she's got that block on there, sales searches? You go on there and you put the criteria up for your property on in there, and then it will provide you with a number of properties, some of which may or may not be comparable. You just have to look through the list and find the ones that are comparable in size and configuration and characteristics of the property, and compare your property to those to get what might be considered a market value comparison. Sales. Now, those are sales of property.
But what I'm wondering is, on the part that's near the ditch, how do I find out what that's valued at, if it's valued like a flat piece, or if it's valued, say 50% or 70% or whatever.
See the block to the right of what she's got highlighted there? It says land details.
Oh, okay.
That shows how much of your property is valued at what type, whether it's flat, rolling, or low. Low would be wetlands, so that's how they classify your property. That's what would show the amount of property that's also allocated to that road on one side.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is great. Thank you very much.
This lookup is available off, if you just go to the main Clark County page, it's at the bottom of this list of Find It Fast is the Property Information Center.
Okay.
And that other one that I was showing, that's Maps Online. There's another way to get to it. When I'm doing it, I always go to it just through the property lookup. There's a little tab for it at the top, just right there.
Okay.
Because we live out here, what happens if we don't find something that's comparable?
Well, you have to get as close as you can to it. I mean, let's say you find something, but it's in a housing development closer into Battleground or whatever, you say, hey, we're 10 miles away from Battleground, and that changes the value. I mean, you just have to point those things out and try to come up with some measure of what difference that makes. You have to drive 6 miles or whatever it is to get to town to buy groceries.
Okay.
Okay, I think it's
probably... You have to get as comparable as possible.
Okay. Now, can we use anything from the National Housing Home Builders Association where they show where the seasonally adjusted amount of the value of homes has changed? I don't know if you've ever used that.
You can use any kind of evidence you want to that affects the values of your property.
Okay. Yeah, we got to do that for next year then. Okay.
But next year we'll be able to get an inspection, right?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
I don't know what your cycle is and whether they're from the assessor.
Yeah. I think we're on 6. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right, we tried. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate all your efforts.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 244 for property ID 127-141-000. The property is owned by Alan Shapiro and it's under trustees. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Alan Shapiro present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, I have no questions on any of the procedures. This is the third time that I've been before you. The property was revalued in 2020 by the assessor as part of its cycle review. We disagreed with the assessor's valuation of $2,075,520, and the BOE agreed that the assessor's value was incorrect, and the value of the property was $1,744,470. In 2021, the assessor disregarded the BOE's 2020 valuation and determined the assessed value of the property was $2,201,572. The BOA determined the fair value of the property at $1,874,364. The assessor did not appeal any of the BOA's decisions. In 2022, the assessor again disregarded the BOA's valuation determination and determined the value of the property was $2,404,326. We disagree. Based on the sales of comparable properties, we believe the value of the property on January 1, 2022 is not in excess of $350 a square foot or $1,950,200. The assessor stated in response to a Freedom of Information Act and based on discussions that their policy is to disregard the BOE's determination for a prior year and continue with their determination based on the 2020 valuation, which has been rejected by the BOE twice. The assessor has not provided any information, response, or sales of comparable properties with respect to the 2020 valuation. There has been no response from the assessor's office with respect to that valuation. We have provided two sales of comparable properties that support a valuation of $350 a square foot, $1,952,000. We have made two adjustments to the sales of those properties, one to reflect the fact that the properties are not on the waterfront, and the other to reflect the fact that the sale of properties include non-taxable, removable personal property. With these two adjustments, we believe that the comparables that we have provided are reasonable amount of the valuation of the property on January 1, 2020. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have with respect to our submission.
You said January 1, 2020. You mean 2022?
Yes, I did. I meant that. Sorry. My own mistake.
I don't have any questions.
As I recall from prior years, the boat dock that you use is owned jointly by you and some other people. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We only own half. And of course, the boat dock is not accessible property. It's personal property, removable personal property.
Right. It just makes a difference in terms of ownership and control of the boat dock. And you're suggesting 350 a square foot, is that correct?
That is correct. And that we believe that that's reasonably supported by the comparables that we've provided to you. Again, the assessor's office has provided no comparable information, no information at all as to why they believe that their valuation is correct. They simply have gone and increased the value of the property based on the 2020 valuation.
Yeah, when they get in this custom home in the high end, their system kind of breaks down.
Sorry?
I don't believe I have any questions. Looking at the past history on it, I think I understand what's going on here.
Okay, I've got it. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, well, thank you very much for considering my appeal.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you. Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 26th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 150 for property ID 110089230. The property is owned by Gary W. Singleton, and it's under trustees. Board members present by the video conference are John Marks, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Gary Singleton present over video chat for the appellant. So, Gary, go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Okay. I won't take up much of your time.
Raise your right hand.
Oh, sorry.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony, make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I don't have a whole lot more to add. I would just point out that there were three units sold in late 2021. You have those in your comparables. Those were sold for $323,000, $392,000, and $400,000 late in the year. Compared to the valuation that the assessor has me at 491. This is the fourth or fifth year that this disparity has occurred. I've been before you in the last few years to have that adjusted, and you've been kind enough to do so. I know this is probably not pertinent to your decision, but I was interested in noting that of the other evaluations of units in our complex, the highest is 382,000 compared to my 491. So I think something is wrong with the algorithm or how it is developed for this particular unit. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah. Your unit, is it tucked away someplace away from the highway? Are you in a, are you in a location that's different than some of the rest of those?
No, I'm right next to the other units. I don't share a wall with another unit, however.
So you're an M unit?
I'm not the only unit that's like that.
But you're an M unit.
You're...
Is that right? You're an end unit?
An end unit, but not sharing a wall, yes.
Okay.
How do you not share a wall? Wouldn't you be just totally independent then?
Well, I have my walkway and my deck going up into the stairs is connected to the next unit. But I don't share a wall with that unit.
Yeah. Okay. So you're connected to it, but it's by a walkway. Going,
yes.
A stairway going up. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So I guess I have a question on there that where you are a standalone unit, so to speak, do you share all of the other homeowner association dues and costs on an equal basis with them?
Oh, yes. We share all of the costs, both the dues and special assessments.
And you have a note here that you're saying in the GIS system they've got it listed as a four-bedroom?
Yes, it's, I thought they had changed that this year to a three-bedroom, which is more accurate.
Can you take a quick look at that, Michelle? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're essentially the same as all the rest of the units, right?
That's correct.
What does it say? I can't see
it. It looks
see
like
there.
They do have it. Yeah, three-bedroom.
They got it listed right. Okay. All right.
Three-bedroom, two baths.
Yeah. All right. I'm okay. I have enough information.
I'm okay.
I have a great map. I have enough to decide on here.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.